Chapter 15. A Great Debate. Barnabas and Paul returned to their friends in Antioch and told all about their voyage and the adventures that had happened to them, and their friends were greatly pleased. Especially were they glad to know that it had been decided to preach the gospel to Gentiles as well as Jews, for the church at Antioch believed in this. It was now 14 years since the conversion of Paul, and he had become a great preacher and traveler, but he was almost unknown in Jerusalem, where he had been but twice since the day when he went forth to persecute the church in Damascus. So he was now to make another journey to Jerusalem, for a most serious question had arisen in the church there, and it was being discussed with great earnestness. Some disciples came to Antioch from Jerusalem, and were horrified to find that the disciples there treated all Christians alike, whether they were Jewish Christians or Gentile Christians. They were shocked to learn that when Peter was visiting in Antioch, he was in the habit of eating with Gentiles. They opposed this so bitterly that Peter withdrew from the Gentiles, and Paul rebuked him for it. Paul tells of this in his letter to the Galatians. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I resisted him to the face, because he stood condemned. For before that certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Cephas before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest as do the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, how compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We, being Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we believed on Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we sought to be justified in Christ, we ourselves also were found sinners, is Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build up again those things which I destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died unto the law, that I might live unto God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me, and gave himself up for me. I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for naught. This shows us how much in earnest Paul was about this matter. But other people were equally earnest. To those who had been trained as Jews and who still regarded themselves as Jews, even though they acknowledged Jesus, it seemed impossible that anyone could be saved who did not keep the whole law of Moses. Paul and Barnabas and the other teachers in Antioch stood firm, and the disciples from Jerusalem, who had had their training under James, were equally confident. And so it was determined that Paul and Barnabas should go to Jerusalem and have the matter out. They set forth and took Titus with them, and Titus was a Gentile Christian. But as they went, they preached all the way through Phoenicia and Samaria, and declared that they were right, and that the gospel was to be preached to Gentiles as well as to Jews. In general, the Christians of Galilee and Samaria were glad of it. Years later, Paul well remembered this visit, and remembered also that the Jewish Christians demanded that Titus should be circumcised, and that he and Barnabas stubbornly refused to permit it, and finally had their way about it. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received with cordiality by the apostles and talked matters over with them. It seemed as if they had reached an agreement. But when the discussion became more public, it was found that very many held to the old view, so they had a very hot discussion about it. It was Peter at length who helped matters out by telling how he had been led to recognize the Gentiles. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and the elders, and they rehearsed all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, saying, "It is needful to circumcise them and to charge them to keep the law of Moses." And the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider of this matter. And when there had been much questioning, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why make ye trial of God, that ye should put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, in like manner as they." Up to this time, Paul and Barnabas had hardly had a chance to tell their story, but the people listened now, and they told how wonderfully their work was prospering among the Gentiles, and how people who had never been Jews and never could be persuaded to take the whole burden of the Jewish law were willing and eager to accept the gospel. And all the multitude kept silence, and they hearkened unto Barnabas and Paul, rehearsing what signs and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles through them. Everyone was wondering what James would say. Paul in the early church held him in high honor. He was a brother of Jesus and was honored for his pure and very just life. But he was known to be very conservative, and there was much expectation that he would oppose this innovation. But, to the surprise of many, James favored the new method. He did not mean to adopt it himself, but intended to continue to the end of his life keeping the whole law of Moses, and this he believed to be best for those Christians who had been born Jews. But as for other Christians, he believed Paul was right, and that this was a fulfillment of the hopes of the prophets. The earnestness of Paul and Barnabas, the frank avowal of Peter, and the cordial approval of James settled the matter, and the whole council that had seemed hopelessly divided came to an agreement. They gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, and agreed that when they returned to Antioch, Judas and Silas should go with them, and take their greetings, and bear a letter prepared in accordance with the suggestions of James. This they did, and the two messengers returned with Paul and Barnabas. They preached all the way back, as they had preached coming, and they had a very joyful series of meetings. Paul grew to like Silas very much, and Silas became one of Paul's fast friends, and afterward journeyed with him. We are not sure which Judas this was, for Judas was a common name. It may possibly have been the brother of Jesus and of James, but this we do not know. Luke was not present at this council, but he heard Paul tell about it many times, and also heard it from others who were there. He made a copy of the letter, and this is what it said: "The apostles and the elders, brethren, unto the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, and Syria, and Cilicia, greeting. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, to whom we gave no commandment, it seemed good unto us, having come to one accord, to choose out men and send them unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who themselves also shall tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, it shall be well with you. Fare ye well." We can well imagine the joy of that journey and the welcome which Paul and Barnabas received when they arrived in Antioch. A great crowd assembled as soon as it was known that Paul and Barnabas were back. And when it was told that they had brought two men from Jerusalem who would speak at the same meeting, the news spread far and wide. It was a great day for Paul. He told the whole story and how he had fought the matter through and what Peter and James had said. And then Barnabas told the things which Paul had omitted. And then they introduced Judas and Silas, who read the letter from the Jerusalem brethren and commented upon it. It was a great and happy meeting, and its influence was widely felt. Silas and Judas made a visit of some weeks in Antioch, and when they left, there was a farewell reception, for the two men from Jerusalem had had a good time in Antioch and were ready now to go somewhere else. But Silas enjoyed his new friend so much that from time to time he came back to Antioch and later made a long journey with Paul. Luke sums up in a short story the account of the way Paul and Barnabas went back from Jerusalem and what happened in the next few weeks. So they, when they were dismissed, came down to Antioch, and having gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. And when they had read it, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being themselves also prophets, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had spent some time there, they were dismissed in peace from the brethren unto those that had sent them forth. But Paul and Barnabas tarried in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. This debate in Jerusalem was one of the most important things that ever happened, for it was settled there for all time that a Christian might be just simply a Christian, and that if the Jewish law helped him to be a Christian, he was to keep it, but if it did not, then it was not necessary. The more we understand about that debate, the more important it appears to us. And we are very glad that Paul and Barnabas had the courage to insist that a Christian need not become a Jew.